You sent Chris our way and her family, and we thank you for your leadership and your sweet spirit and your ministry to us. And that's all right. It's been a good morning, hasn't it? I found out that sometimes we express ourselves before we think. I opened my Bible, and Libby saw my notes. She said, uh-oh, oh no, but fear not, these are primarily for you to take home. You have a copy of these, and we most likely will not get everything covered today, but that's all right. You know, I'm preaching this morning on our heavenly home, on heaven. And I do so for several reasons. First of all, it's a primary part of the Word of God. And Jesus said to the disciples on that last evening, the last message that He shared with them, the last truth that has been embedded in their hearts is, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, what? Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Dr. R.G. Lee said, heaven is not some ethereal Disney World or Disneyland. It is not some mystical place that has no substance, even though there are a lot of questions that we have about heaven. In fact, I think the Lord was just kind of preparing me for the message this morning when just a moment ago, during our fellowship time, one of my favorite people just brings a joy to my face every time I see her, Miss Sarah Prosser. Miss Sarah, there's a Greek word for you. You are a hoot. She is. I think spreading sunshine and joy is a gift, and you've got it, and you're a blessing. And it's fun to watch you play the piano and listen to you play, as well as it is Bobby as well. And y'all are a blessing. But she came over to me in a moment ago of fellowship. And choir, she asked me a deep, penetrating, theological question that I wasn't prepared for. It's not in my notes, and I don't have the answer, and I wish I knew. And you ever had questions about heaven that you just wish somebody would answer? Well, we may answer some of those this morning, but I suspect there'll be some that we'll still have. For example, Miss Sarah, I may not tell this exactly right, but I'll get close. Brother Jackie, aren't we going to be eating in heaven? And I said, yes, and I thought, thank God for that. Amen. That's one of my ministry gifts, is eating. And she said, aren't we going to eat like the marriage supper of the Lamb? I said, oh, yes, we are, Miss Sarah. And then as only that unique personality could do, she said, who's going to do the cooking? I've been preaching 50 years. Ain't nobody ever asked me who was going to do the cooking, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, it won't matter because it's going to be good. It's going to be wonderful. And everything about heaven is going to be great. And someone once said that heaven is the sweetest place the omniscient mind of God could conceive. It is the most glorious place the omnipotent hand of God could prepare, and deserves to be preached on more than just at funeral services or special occasions. It's a word that we need to be reminded of all the time. This old world sometimes leaves us burdens to carry. And it's good to know what God's Word says about a place called heaven. John, the beloved apostle, the last living remaining apostle, was exiled, as you know, to the Isle of Patmos. I remember well, our children were small. Our daughter, who's now 52, and she would shoot me if she knew I said that, but she was probably in the first or second grade, maybe 7, 8 years old, and she said, Daddy, what's a Patmos? And I said, honey, I'm not sure what a Patmos is. I've never heard of one. She said, well, God put John on a Patmos. It was the Isle of Patmos. And John was exiled there because of his faith. And there he was, lonely, and all of his family were across the Aegean Sea and there at Ephesus, and his heart was lonely. And John was elderly, and his health was beginning to fade. And who knows what was going through his mind and through his heart. But God chose that moment on the Isle of Patmos in exile to speak to his heart and give him a word of encouragement that would bless him. And God's given us that same word today. Just want to talk to you for a few minutes about our heavenly home. Folks, if you're saved by the grace of God, if you're saved, it is by the grace of God. I've got good news for you. God's got a place prepared for you. God's preparing it for you, and it's going to be forever and ever and ever and ever. And eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And when you get discouraged, remember there's a place called heaven. When you get tired, when you get ill, when physical problems come, remember there's a place called heaven. And it's a real, genuine place. Revelation chapter 21. God gave to John, the beloved apostle on the Isle of Patmos, this wonderful vision. And I, John, in verse 1 of chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I used to wonder what that meant, there was no more sea. Then it came to me one day that most likely, or probably, it has to do with the distance that all of John's relatives were from him, across the Aegean Sea, away from him, and that he couldn't see, couldn't talk to, couldn't put his arms around. And John was saying, there'll be nothing there in heaven that will ever separate me from my loved ones in Christ, ever, ever again. By the way, in heaven, there'll be some things we won't have to do, and this is not in your notes, but it's true nevertheless. Every year, Libby and I make at least 4 trips intentionally, we go more, to our family cemetery. Our family's buried in several cemeteries, but we put flowers in the grave, and we'll sit there and we'll reminisce, and we'll do that. There won't be any need for any flowers, because there won't be any cemeteries, Roger and Glory. There won't be any place to care the flowers. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. As a boy growing up, I remember singing the grand old hymns of Zion. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Makes me wish I could sing. I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. I love this one. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. There's a land. I'm fixing to have a spell and I hadn't got started. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father lives, waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod? And then there's one other. I have a dear friend in heaven, a lot of them. One of them is my dear brother, Wayne Allen. Wayne was pastor at Briarwood, the founder of Briarcrest Christian Schools. Wayne, I believe, was one of Southern Baptist's best-kept secrets. He was a brilliant scholar. He was a wonderful dreamer as far as visionary. He was my dear friend. He introduced me to Adrian Rogers, and we often had lunch together with Adrian and Wayne and myself. And Wayne became very ill, and I went to see him at the hospital. And the doctors had told Wayne, had told his family, it probably wasn't going to be much longer. And Wayne was getting weaker, and he knew it probably wouldn't be much longer. And something happened that I'll never forget. As I had prayer with my brother, held his hand and had prayer with him, I walked out, knowing it might be the last time I'd ever see him here. And Wayne, without any prompting, began to sing before I got to the door. If we never meet again this side of heaven. And folks, I want to tell you, God's got a word for every broken heart. God's got a word for every troubled soul. God's got a word for every hurting life. And that word is, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. In the next few moments, I want us to talk about just a few simple truths about heaven. The first of them is simply this, the declaration of heaven. Heaven is a real place. Now, folks, I've been to Disney World. It was an experience. It really was. In fact, if you want to get blessed, gather you up a house full of kids and go to Disney World. It'll bless you. I remember, John, I was getting in line. By the way, there's always a crowd, always a crowd. I got in line, a line that was 30 minutes long to ride one of those Ferris wheels, one of those rides, and I found out it was the line to the water fountain. But I tell you, I've been to Disneyland once, and it was enough. I don't lay awake at night and say, Lord, please take me to Space Mountain one more time. I just don't do that. But folks, I've got something to look forward to that's better than Disney World and better than Disneyland, even better than Dollywood. You see in the news lately? Dolly's put a $25 million roller coaster in Dollywood. Bless her. I hope that y'all enjoy riding that, because I don't think the Lord's going to lead me to ride it. The declaration of heaven. Heaven is a real place. The Bible says there are really three heavens. There is this atmosphere around us that we live in, that we breathe. There is the atmosphere above that where we would call space. And then there's the heaven the Bible speaks of, a city of God, a place where the saints of God shall live forever and ever and ever. There is a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign, eternal day excludes the night, and joy banishes and pleasure banishes pain. Let there be no misunderstanding. There's a place that's not spoken of figuratively. It's not spoken of as you would a parable. There's a real place. And one of these days for the child of God, Jerry, We're going to plant these feet. This body is going to be changed into a celestial body. And these feet are going to walk on celestial soil. And these eyes are going to view heavenly places. And there's going to be a real city where we're going to... By the way, heaven is a city. Heaven is a country. Heaven is the whole universe occupied by God. The city is 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide, unlike any city we've ever visited. There's nothing down here that can compare. But you see, it doesn't matter to me whether heaven's a city or the country. I believe it's going to be both, because it matters who's going to be there. Jesus is going to be there, and our loved ones in Christ are going to be there. And so the declaration of heaven is, child of God, when you're discouraged, when you're going through the valley, when you're going through sorrow, remember, God's prepared a place called heaven for us to live in forever and ever and ever and ever. Not the half has been told. When the Queen of Sheba saw the glory of Solomon's splendor, she said, not the half has been told. Michelangelo could not capture its glory in stone. Shakespeare could not describe its splendor in meter or rhyme. Rembrandt could not capture its majesty on canvas. There's a place that while it cannot be described or explained completely, it can be the place where you and I live forever if you'll but give your heart and your life to Jesus. There's the declaration of a place called heaven. The difficulty of it is, by the way, Sarah, the Lord, it's okay to ask questions. Those are good questions. What when you are wondering about heaven? The Lord's chosen not to answer all of our questions, choir, but He's chosen to give us enough answers to keep our eyes focused on Him and on glory. There's a place called heaven. The delights of heaven are many. Let me just list some of them for you. Revelation 21 reveals that the delights of heaven, the difficulty of heaven is we have a limited perspective. We can only understand so much, but we have a limited language. I don't believe our vocabulary is able to describe the glory and the majesty of that day that we see Jesus. But what about the delights of heaven? Well, there are just a few I want to share with you this morning for a moment. There's the light first and foremost of the person of heaven. The centerpiece of heaven is a throne. On that throne is our lovely Lord. You see, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. There's the delight of the presence of our Lord in glory. The melody of heaven will be His name, the name above all names. The harmony of heaven will be His praise. What a perfect worship will be ours. And the theme of heaven will be His redemptive work. Can't you just hear all the angelic band? Can't you just hear all the saints of God of all the ages? Worthy, 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 Thou art worthy, O God, to receive honor and glory and majesty and praise. I remember years ago, Roger, going to the Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas. And I was a young preacher and felt like I had to go to all the meetings and all the services, and there's nothing wrong with that. We had a great time. But I had never heard 45,000 people sing How Great Is Our God, or 45,000 people sing Amazing Grace. Can you imagine what it's going to be like, Chris, in that heavenly choir, when all the saints of all the ages, I can almost hear Moses singing, How great is our God. Can't you hear Abraham? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Just name the saints of God over and over. The delights of heaven. The harmony of heaven will be His praise. The theme of heaven will be His redemptive work. Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and majesty and praise. There are a lot of delights in heaven. The delight of the person of heaven, Jesus. But there's the delight of the pageantry of heaven. I wish I had time to kind of just pull over the curb and park here for a few moments. But let's look at some of the things I call the pageantry of heaven. I've seen some splendorous things of splendor. I've seen Niagara Falls, and what an awesome sight that was. I've been to Zimbabwe, and I've seen the Zambezi River, and I've seen the highest waterfall in the world. I've seen sights that I never thought I would see coming from a little place called Lacey Spring, Alabama, but not the half has been told of what we're going to see one of these days. Walls of jasper. Walls of jasper. The walls of the Middle Eastern culture were a portrait of and a symbol of a city's strength and its protection. In heaven, you won't have to worry about anybody invading or breaking in. You don't, by the way, I don't think there'll be any locks on the doors. You won't need them in glory. Heaven's permanence, the foundations of precious stones, speaks of a place that is fairer than day, that'll last forever and ever and ever and ever. There's a land where we'll never grow old. Heaven's permanence. There's the pageantry of heaven's pardon. Pardon. The Bible says that there are gates of pearl. Now, what does that have to do with pardon? A pearl was synonymous with suffering. And every time we see the pearly gates of heaven, we are reminded that we're there by the grace, the redemptive grace of a God who died on Calvary's cross for our sins. And those pearly gates will remind us of the pardon of heaven. Heaven's perfection, streets of gold. Oh me, I can't tell you sometimes how I keep thinking, Lord, I can't wait to see the majesty of that place. You see, when I grew up in Lacey Springs, there weren't any paved roads. We had pretty decent gravel roads. By the way, I want to give you an image of some kids walking down a gravel road in a country community and going over to the fence row and picking plums off of the plum bushes going down to the fence row in an old country community. Nothing wrong with that. Have some great, great memories. But the Bible says that the streets of heaven are paved with gold. I like what Dr. Rogers used to say. He said, down here, men worship gold and walk on God. But in heaven, men will worship God and walk on gold. Heaven's a perfect place. There's the land of pure delight where saints immortal reign. Eternal day excludes the night, and pleasure banishes pain. Then there's the desire for heaven. The desire Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far, far better. Heaven's a real place. Our citizenship is in heaven. The desire from heaven. Heaven's provisions, the tree of life. I thought about you, Sarah, when I looked at that. I looked at my notes again a while ago. Everything we'll ever need will be provided in abundance and in plenty. Everything. There won't be famines. There won't be shortages. There won't be need. That's signified by the tree of life, which blooms throughout the year and throughout the seasons. And every need is met. There's the delight of the people of heaven. Jesus' resurrected body on the Mount of Transfiguration was a picture of that. By the way, one of these days, I'm going to hope that you'll be here tonight. I'm preaching on 1 Thessalonians and I'm through the Bible series. One of these days, you and I, as saints of God, are going to be changed. You ever looked in the mirror and thought, if I could tweak this just a little bit, I could do a little bit better. Truth is, folks, if you think you look good now, and you do, you got a heavenly body to look forward to. And no, there won't be any cancer, there won't be any more disease, there won't be any more illness. There are the delights of heaven, the delights of people. We'll have a resurrected body. I don't understand what that means, but I know it won't be sick, and it won't grow old, and it won't die. We'll live forever. And never, never. We're talking about heaven. There'll be some discoveries in heaven. I only have time to mention these, but think about them. And you'll find the references in your outline there this morning. What will heaven be like? Well, let me tell you what I don't think heaven will be like. And this is just my supposition. I don't think it's fully appropriate to think of heaven as an eternal 11 o'clock worship service. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But worship is just a part of what we're going to do in glory. And worship, we'll worship day and night, and we'll never get weary of worship, because it means to love on the Lord. But we'll discover fellowship. Fellowship. No one, if there's anything this church enjoys, it's fellowship. I've never seen a crowd that loved to hug necks and shake hands and fellowship with people any more than Calvary does. But folks, we're going to see folks we hadn't seen in years and years and years. And we're going to fellowship. Aren't you looking forward? I'm looking forward to hearing Moses talk about that journey through the wilderness. I'm looking forward to hearing Abraham talk about what it was like to walk by faith. Looking forward to Moses and talking about the dividing of that Red Sea. And we're going to fellowship with the saints of God who have gone before us. The fellowship. It'll be a place of rest. Revelation 14:13. Yea, men shall rest from their labors. You ever get tired? You ever get weary? Well, heaven will be a place of rest and a place of fellowship, a place of knowledge. Sarah, good news. We're going to know even as we are known, which interpreted means there won't be anything that we won't know. We'll have perfect knowledge in glory. Oh, it's a place of holiness. There'll be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. A place of holiness forevermore. Joy. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. A place of service. You see, and his servant shall serve him. I don't know what that means, but I have an idea the Lord will give us heavenly assignments for running the universe, and we'll have a part in doing that. There'll be abundance. He'll give unto us who are athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He's going to meet every need. And there's the glory. This light affliction is for a moment, but a far more exceeding weight of glory awaits us. But I would be remiss if I closed this morning trying to talk a little bit about heaven without talking about the deletions of heaven for just a moment. There are more to think about them. Dr. Lee called heaven the land of no. No more anxiousness, no more aging, no more apathy. No more battling, no more bitterness, cruelty, carnality, cancer. No more cemeteries. No more death, no more disease, disappointment, depression, or darkness. No more doubt, defeat, dread, or danger. No more exhaustion or failure or fear. No more guilt or goodbyes. No more hatred or heartache or hunger. No more hearses driving down the street. No more iniquity. No more inhumanity. No more jealousy. No more jails. No more killing. No more lies. No more loneliness. No more misery. No more mourning, which is the grieving kind of mourning. No more night. No more oppression. No more poverty, pride. No more remorse or regret. No more sin, sorrow, sickness, or struggling. No more tears, tragedy, time, trials, or temptation. No more unforgiveness, ungodliness, vanity, vice, or vacancies. No more wickedness, no more wandering, no more weeping, and no more yearning. Heavens, the land of no. And the list could go on and on and on. Thank God for the things that will be there. Thank God for the things that won't be there. But I couldn't leave out mentioning the door of heaven. Holman Hunt has a beautiful picture. It's very old. I remember seeing it as a boy, of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. It was Jesus who said in Revelation, behold, of course, he's writing to the churches, but it applies across the board to everybody. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in unto them, dine with them, and they with me. The door to heaven is a person whose name is Jesus. The door to heaven is not being a Baptist. The door to heaven is not being a member of somebody's church. The door to heaven is not being moral or pure. The door to heaven is not giving to charity. It's having a born-again experience through repentance of sin and faith in the lovely Lord Jesus. Dr. Lee said it's insane to meet death without having met the conqueror of death. And the last thought I'd share with you this morning, and so much could be said about heaven, the decision for heaven, and just this thought, it is an awesome thing. You choose, we choose where we're going to spend eternity. Now, we're not going to get into a theological debate about predestination and election and all that stuff. There's a place for that. But I want to tell you, Jesus has died that he loves the whole world and Jesus died that anybody could be saved. But there's one thing that all the redeemed, the one thing in heaven we'll all have in common is we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God, not deserving, but recipients of God's grace. Jesus told us a lot about heaven. He told us so much about it because He wants you to go. And He wants you to go. And He wants all of us to go. And I can't think of anything any sadder than when we get there. Somebody that you loved and you down here didn't make it. Oh, dear friend, put your faith and trust in Jesus. Don't wait until tomorrow. Do it today. And this final thought, you'll discover that you get a little bit of heaven down here. You see, worship's a little bit of heaven down here, and fellowship's a little bit of heaven down here, and praise is a little bit of heaven down here. When God heals somebody you've been praying for, that's a little bit of heaven down here. And when God just causes the Spirit of God to swell up within you with joy, and you lift your hearts and your hands in praise to Him, it's a little bit of heaven down here. You don't have to wait till there. You can give your heart and life to Jesus now. And when you do, you'll have reservations in the city of God. Let's bow together, shall we?